This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Next on Plains FM, join Rossi for Colors of Courage to hear the inspiring stories of ethnic, social entrepreneurs supporting their communities here in Otautahi.
Welcome back to the podcast. In this episode, I'll be interviewing Pamela and Maria of Cirrus Sandwich. They're based in Colombo Mall. Although I tried to find a quiet place to interview them, but you'll still be able to hear some background noise. Maria and Pamela.
Pamela, right. Yes.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Hey, please tell me about a little bit about yourself first.
Well, I'm from Uruguay and I came to New Zealand around 14 years ago.
Wow.
With my husband and the two kids.
Yeah.
And after too many things, I ended up being a business partner with Maria.
Uh-huh.
And yeah.
Yeah. What about yourself, Maria?
I'm from Argentina. I've been in New Zealand for 20 years. Yeah. I have two kids. They're born in New Zealand and always in Christchurch, yeah. And I think we took over the business in, I can't remember, 7 years ago?
Seven years ago,
yeah.
To cover Pamela's business?
No. We bought this business seven years ago.
Okay, right, I see. So, yeah.
I came on board
one year
ago.
Oh, just 1 year ago on this one.
Yes.
Right, I see. So tell me about Cirrus Sandwich.
For me, Cirrus Sandwich is, we like to make sandwich. We make sandwiches like vegetarian and non-vegetarian, for non-vegetarian people as well. And every time that you eat our sandwich, it's just full of flavor and, discover everything in there. And we try to do our best in every sandwich. And she loved the coffee part. I love the sandwich part, and she loved the coffee part. She's really good doing coffees.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm in training.
Yes.
Not very good yet. Yeah. And then also fries are quite nice. And yeah, I think I'm in love with all the products.
Yeah, we're really proud because we say it's craft sandwiches.
Yes. Yeah.
We use as much as we can local producers artisan bread, and the quality we use, it come up on the sandwiches itself when you try one. We're really proud of the quality we're serving, and the amount of effort that goes behind every sandwich.
Yeah.
We make everything in the store.
Yeah.
We make our own mayonnaise, salsa verde, we make the pork, the chicken,
the onion jam.
Everything is a really hard work behind the scene of what it goes on the sandwich, and I think that is what it pay off.
Yeah.
And we're really proud of that.
Right, okay. Yeah. Now tell me, you joined before Pamela came in, so tell me how that happened.
Well, my husband, my brother-in-law and myself, we saw the opportunity to buy this place. I really always used to come here as a customer and absolutely love the sandwiches.
Yeah.
And then the opportunity arose of us be able to buy the business, and we did. So my brother-in-law was mostly in charge of everything while my husband and I will keep our work.
Yeah.
But then life circumstances changed and I had to step in.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little bit of a shocking because I didn't have experience in hospitality. But as soon as I put my thoughts in it and I knew that it was mine and absolutely loved the place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
and
cool.
And so we've been working, doing the best we can for the last six, seven years.
Wow, that's a great amount of time. So have you changed anything since the takeover?
Well, what we did, we just add sandwiches to put in a display so the customer could engage with us more and see what we were selling actually.
Yeah.
So add a few sandwiches to that, but pretty much just keep rolling what we used to have.
Okay,
I think
great.
The people love
what it is, the sandwich.
The sandwiches, yep. And we'll have customers from 6-7 years ago coming weekly for the same sandwich.
Yes. And I'm one of them.
Okay.
Really, really, very strict about, you know, I want a Turkish bread. I like that. That's my flavor. So, speaking about breads, tell me, what breads do you offer actually?
We offer ciabatta bread, mm-hmm. Turkish bread, mm-hmm. and whole grain. Mm-hmm. And also it's an option for gluten-free for people who need to.
Oh, yes. You know. Yeah. Now, do you say you buy those breads or do you make them yourselves?
So the breads are all from artisan. It's an artisan baker. Okay. He's amazing. Mm. So he baked the bread for us daily. So the delivery comes in the morning.
Yes.
And also the gluten-free bread we also get from the Totally Gluten-Free Bakery, which I believe is one of the best in Christchurch, offering gluten-free options.
Uh-huh.
It's quite popular, the gluten-free options in our shop. Yeah.
Now, we all went through COVID. How was that for you as business?
Awful. It was the first time. 3 years ago, it was quite worrying. It wasn't new. Everything was new. What was COVID? What is the lockdown?
Yeah. How long is it going to take?
How long? At the time, we didn't know how are we going to survive, you know, for 4 weeks without any income. And so it was a little bit of a worry until we see that we were receiving help from the government. Mm-hmm. And also the mall helped us a little bit with the rent. But it was really hard.
So you were able to ride the waves? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's great. So in terms of like government help, do you think that was enough? Or the government could have done a bit more? How did you feel the government's response to the whole thing?
From the beginning, because we were expecting anything. So the fact that we did receive help, for us was a big help. We couldn't have done it without that.
Right.
We couldn't survive for weeks.
Wow.
Keep paying, you know, wages and the rent and all the
suppliers.
The suppliers
and
keep coming because you pay them, you know. So money was coming out, but nothing was coming in.
Yeah.
So the government helps
a lot.
To keep here.
Mm.
We are able to be here because
of that
help.
Yeah, and the wage subsidy and everything helped keep your staff as well.
Yes.
Yeah, that's great. Now, in terms of like doing your business, do you find doing the legal things, is that hard? Is that easy? Was it challenging at the beginning? Has it become easier now?
Yeah.
What's your experience, if you can expand on that?
It is quite challenging, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, my husband deal a lot with that. He really loves that sort of challenge.
Mm-hmm.
But it's never easy, you know, when you need to hire someone, or the moment you want to open a business, or it's not impossible. It's doable, but it's not. I mean, something that in our countries could be a lot easier than here, but it can be done.
Any specific challenges that you face from time to time? That is like, you know, this is, you know, really hard. Wish somebody could have made it slightly easier. What would that be?
The employees.
Will be the main.
The employees,
yes.
So what is the challenge in that?
To find one.
Mm-hmm.
For example, at the moment it's quite hard to find.
Right.
Someone that he really commitment to the job, you know.
Yeah.
Or to come even to the interview. Sometimes they say yes and then they don't show up.
Okay.
Probably the big problem at the moment for us is to try to find someone.
Mm-hmm.
It's challenging when you don't want someone.
Mm.
That's hard.
It's
hard.
Yeah.
Mm.
So you mean somebody is willing, but you don't seem to feel that they are fit for your business.
Yeah. So let's say you have someone, and then you say, you know, things start to, you know, when it usually happen after 3-4 years, you know. The employees get tired of doing the same thing every day. So it does get a bit tricky at the end.
For us to
let them go.
Since
that's something that New Zealand is quite tough on the employee.
So what could actually help you with that situation, with that whole employee situation? Do you think government should open up borders more and
More flexible,
less steps, you know, if
when you are not happy with someone, it doesn't need to be so hard to say, okay, look, that's not working for us.
Yeah.
And you try to talk to the people, mm-hmm. the person, to see if things can change, and if it doesn't change.
Right.
It's not easy to say, you know what I mean? So yeah. that probably...
So you can't let go of employees easily.
No,
if you want to deal with
it. Not that we need it, but it's something that is always a worry, or
a
is
worry,
in the back
yeah.
on your mind, or mm-hmm. it's something that... It was quite challenging on the COVID time because we need to reduce hours, and it wasn't really that easy.
Okay.
So that's something that is, on the legal part, is quite challenging.
Because if it's on the contract, it's not easy to, you know, to change it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see. Now, in terms of, like, doing other things, like, you know, GST and income tax, you know, those kind of things, do you find that challenging compared to your country over here, or is it slightly easier?
No, it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty straightforward, yeah.
Yeah, it's very clear, instructions are really clear, easy to follow.
And if you need help, you always have the line that you can call them,
okay,
and they always help you as well.
Yes, yeah. So do you think, like,
just... Well, we do have an accountant
who does that for you, that's great. Do you find it that... it's easier to do business here compared to Argentina or Uruguay?
I didn't do business in Uruguay, so...
And I came to New Zealand quite young, so I didn't have the experience in Argentina. Oh. Yeah. But I will believe, though, it could be easy to open up or start a business over there, maybe.
I have friends with business over there, and they have probably similar situation with here, like...
Yeah.
Government issues or the sindicato, how you call them? You know, when you are when you employee belong to
a union. Right,
yes.
I see. Yes, yeah.
So yeah, sometimes over there you have much employees belonging to the union, and sometimes it's more hard because you're dealing with the union.
Yes.
Especially in, yeah.
Even for small businesses, you mean?
GST and tax.
Yeah, no, maybe no small business,
right,
but a little bit bigger.
I see, yes.
Yeah. I guess GST and tax probably is a little bit too high. Maybe they could change that on a small business, you know, don't hit everybody
the same. If you wanted to, like, invite people to your business, to your shop, what would you say to them? Why should they come and have sandwich at your place?
Why?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're the best.
I just go with the quality. Like we say, we're really proud of the quality of what it goes into the sandwich. That will be the main thing.
Yes.
We try to use always local producers. Like I say, artisan bread, and we know exactly what goes in a sandwich and the hard work that goes into the sandwich. There's nothing is bought from the store. Everything is done here daily. So it's fresh, it's a great quality, and the flavors are something that nobody can really come up with it, because it's just made, the magic.
Yeah.
Inside.
Yeah. I mean, as far as I know, I haven't seen another sandwich place like yours here with artisan breads and stuff. You know, I can see other sandwich places which are like proper sandwich, you know, like with proper, like, you know, bread.
I would say this is calm, because experience is like a meal in a sandwich. It's like in the flavors.
Because
we have the porchetta, which is, you know, it's a pulled pork that takes us 3 hours
to cook.
So it's like slow cooked?
It's slow cooked, and we do that every day with our own salsa verde. We make our onion jam. We take 24 hours to do it. So all that.
And I see that you make meatball sandwiches as well.
We used to.
Not anymore. Oh, that's not an... Okay,
not
right, yes.
But we make mayonnaise, our own mayonnaise, and salsa verde.
Everything.
Yeah. So that's probably what make our sandwich quite unique, quite crafty, I will say.
Now, if you had to, like, recommend a sandwich to someone, what would you recommend? So one in vegetarian and one in non-vegetarian.
Yeah, my favorite is the halloumi.
Oh, right.
Yes, yeah. And it could be with bacon.
Yes.
Or vegetarian. Okay. Without.
Yeah. What about your?
And I love the porchetta and salsa verde.
Oh,
it's
right.
Pulled pork.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's quite lovely. The halloumi is also really nice. Yeah.
And the other good thing is for the people sometimes doesn't like or they are allergic to onion or to garlic, and they always can ask to don't have, for example, salsa verde or if...
We will accommodate it to the
diet. We accommodate, exactly. Yeah.
They can just
so
customize.
We are always, exactly.
Yeah, yes. Okay, that's good. Now, have you put any kind of... I know you've said before that you haven't really changed the menu, kept everything safe. Have you put anything from your cuisine into this at all?
For
anything
our countries, you
yeah,
mean?
Yeah, from your countries, yeah.
No, it's an idea that always is around, but yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't do anything yet.
Yeah. Is there anything in future that you're planning to do like this, but at a different place?
In Uruguayan is, oh sorry, in Uruguayan is a sandwich with meat that sometimes I would like to do it. And also, what we did sometimes was the chorizo.
Chorizo, yeah.
Chorizo that is quite common in our countries as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. Okay. Maybe in the future, maybe not
future.
Too far away. But
yeah, in another mall.
Yeah, hopefully, or maybe here. But yeah.
Oh right, okay. So tell me about the timing of your business. So what time do you open up and what time do you finish?
We open 9 a.m. And we close at 5:30 p.m.
Right.
From Monday to Saturdays and Sunday, the mall open at 10.
Okay.
And they do 10 to 5.
10 to 5.
Just Sundays.
Yeah.
And public holidays. Yes.
Yeah.
That's the hours or opening is the same hour like the mall, but usually kitchen close around 3:30.
Okay. Right. Yeah. So obviously the busiest time will be the lunchtime.
Yes.
But do you make something for like breakfast as well in the morning? If people come in?
Oh, well, yeah, yes. Usually in the morning, if someone wants for breakfast, the popular one is the breakfast wrap.
Okay.
Food menus available from 9 o'clock.
Okay,
yes.
Right. So they can just walk in at 9 o'clock if they want.
Yeah, some of the options, it will take longer because, you know, it needs preparation. But, it's everything available.
Okay, great. Yeah. Now, if you wanted to just tell me anything that I haven't really asked, what would that be about your serious sandwich?
Well, because we are a sandwich shop, but also a coffee shop, so
right,
we have the two options.
Yeah. So tell me about coffee. Like, what attracted you towards coffee? Are you a big coffee drinker yourself, or from where you come from?
I am really
from,
picky
that's
with
natural?
The coffee. I'm a very picky, Yeah. Like I say, I always do like when it comes to food or drinks, I always go for quality. So we also are quite proud of the coffee we're selling. It's nothing better than a good cup of coffee. So we have great baristas doing the coffees daily. We have a wide range of alternative milk. The coffee, so we use the brand called Lafare, which is a New Zealand-made coffee. The coffee is not from New Zealand, but the Lafare is a New Zealand company. We really like the coffee.
What was I going to ask? in terms of like, you know... because you're immigrants yourself, right? If you wanted to give a piece of advice to other immigrants who are maybe on the cusp of opening their own business, maybe in food or maybe in something else, what would your advice or a tip would be from your vast experience?
From my experience, for example, if they have the money for invest and they feel like they have an idea and they think that's going to work here, I would say, like, just go for it.
Yeah. Yourself?
Study the market well.
Yeah.
Because it will be really tough. Like we were very successful with this business. So my husband and I did have the experience to say, okay, let's go and open a second one, and it did not work out. So you need to really study the market, location. If it's in hospitality, it's actually quite important. Don't just go blind. And my advice.
Of course, not blind, but...
New Zealand is quite expensive when you want to open a business. The numbers are sometimes a little bit scary, how much actually goes involved in opening commercial kitchen for us, from our experience. So that will be something that do the numbers, do the research. Sometimes foreigners believe, though, like you just say, oh, our product, no one sell it here, maybe it will be, you know, amazing. Yeah. Maybe it's not very appealing to the New Zealand market. So that's something that I think they will need to.
Yeah. And how would you say they should do a research? What's your idea of doing a research before getting into business?
Out there?
You have an idea probably, and then see, okay, if it's any other idea around, and if it is, try to see how they go.
If you like a neighborhood, you say, oh, that's a great spot, you know, spend there a good amount of time looking around, seeing what's the foot traffic, see when are the visit times, try to find out, because you can, how is the other shops doing around?
We always do numbers about how much it will cost a rent for the place that you're looking at.
Rent is important.
It's quite expensive. You should sometimes, the rent is there.
So that minimizes your margins, doesn't it, if it's too high?
Yeah.
There's other things you can probably control, but then that's just fixed. So you've got to be very careful how you price and your items.
And the other thing is, unless for us, sometimes we think is, if you have too many employees, that's another thing, you know. So probably if you are just starting your business, maybe if you are a family and... I don't know if the two, for example, if a couple, maybe I don't know if the two of them can work.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's better because the less salaries, the wages that you need to pay is better.
Yeah.
But if you can and one of them need to work, well, it's better if one and less.
Okay, cool.
You know?
When you just start, I guess you need to be involved 100%.
Thanks for the advice. Now, lastly, if you wanted
don't
to invite...
Don't put a sandwich shop now.
So what I was going to say was, like, this is your opportunity to invite people to your shop. Go.
But like I did say, come on in. You will have a great experience. Our sandwiches are, like I say, the quality that is on that sandwiches is what we are really proud.
Tasty.
The work... and I'm not saying this, you know, but the love that goes into what we're doing is also what makes, I think, the sandwiches really special.
Yeah.
It's a great experience. And come and grab an amazing cup of coffee.
Exactly.
Yeah,
with a lovely fries, because we also have fries.
You also have fries.
Fries are quite popular. We have people coming just...
For the fries.
For the fries. We really have a lot of regulars, and that's tell you... For me, always seeing the regular is we're doing something good, because they keep coming every year to get our stuff, and these new regulars coming.
Yeah.
That's when you know we must be doing something really great.
Mm.
Yeah.
And we are located in the Colombo Mall.
Which is a lovely shopping destination. It's really so appealing, isn't it? It's really charming mall.
Especially. Coming towards Christmas, it's all lit up and decorated, so it looks really fancy. Really
you
good
also,
vibe.
When you come to the Colombo Day, I think this sweet gem is the one who offers the best food options within the rest of the malls, because it's different. So what you find here, you won't find it in any other mall.
That's great. Cool. Emela,
thank you
so much.
For the opportunity.
Rianne,
thank you so much for coming
on the show.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Colors of Courage on Plains FM 96.9. Join me again for the next episode.
If you enjoyed today's show, follow Lady Khadija Trust on Facebook and make sure to like and subscribe to Colors of Courage on Apple Podcasts or Spotify to never miss a show. You can find past episodes on plainsfm.org.nz. Tune in on the first Monday of the month at 12 p.m. for more amazing stories from Canterbury's ethnic social entrepreneurs. only on Plains FM 96.9.